Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Trump emerges from the Situation Room saying, in effect, no deal. Yet. This is maddening. However, we all agree with Trump. Great deal or no deal? I'll explain how Trump has flipped the script on these Iraniacs. It's a beautiful thing to behold.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
At 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time, preparing to meet with his National Security Council on Friday to review, discuss, and make a quote, final determination, end quote, on the latest MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, from the Iraniacs. Trump paused to post on Truth Social to let the American people know what was on his mind. Isn't that amazing? Here it is. Iran must agree that they will never have a nuclear weapon or bomb. The Hormuz Strait must be immediately open, no tolls, for unrestricted shipping traffic in both directions. All water mines, bombs, if any, will be terminated. We have removed, through detonation, numerous such mines with our great underwater minesweepers. Iran will complete the immediate removal and or detonation of any mines that are left, which will not be many. Ships caught in the strait due to our amazing and unprecedented naval blockade, which will now be lifted, may start the process of heading home. Say hello to your wives, husbands, parents, and families from me, your favorite president. The enriched material, sometimes referred to as nuclear dust, which is buried deep underground with virtually collapsed mountains caused by our powerful B-2 bomber attack 11 months ago, sitting on top of it, will be unearthed by the United States, which, it is agreed, is the only country, along with China, with the mechanical capability of doing so, in close coordination with and conjunction with the Islamic Republic of Iran, plus the International Atomic Energy Agency, and be destroyed. No money will be exchanged until further notice. Other items of far less importance have been agreed to. I will be meeting now in the Situation Room to make a final determination. Thank you for your attention to this matter. President Donald J. Trump. Posted 10:51 a.m. ET. Isn't that something? Oh, I got something for you here that you might have not noticed. And so, hang on for it. DNI Tulsi Gabbard was included in the meeting. The Director of National Intelligence is not a voting member of the Security Council. The Director of National Intelligence is not one of the statutory members who form the legal principles of the NSC, National Security Council. These are the President, of course, the Chair, the VP, the Secretary of State, Secretary of the Treasury, the Secretary of War, okay, Defense, and the Secretary of Energy. The President has the prerogative, of course, to add anyone he deems needed to advise the Council in their deliberations, but only these are the voting members. To invite the Director of National Intelligence might suggest concern about uprisings or issues developing within the country. However, in 2025, Trump issued a National Security Presidential Memorandum listing the DNI as a, quote, regular non-voting attender and advisor, end quote, in NSC meetings with the Principals Committee. So she's a part of that group when it gathers. So don't fear, this is routine in Trump's White House. And we're praying for Tulsi Gabbard and her dear husband, and we hope the best. The meeting ended after about 2 hours with no signature. Trump sent his team back to the table. And here are the takeaways. Why no deal? Well, the language does not lock in the most important demands. First and foremost, the non-negotiable demand that the Iraniacs go beyond mere assurances that they don't want nuclear weapons. It must be ironclad, declaring firm, unequivocal commitment to abandon the pursuit of nuclear warheads now or ever, or bombs, forever, and providing for verification of compliance on our terms, not theirs. Now, I would further stipulate that they cannot have missiles with a range that allows them to attack Europe or America. I would encourage the Arab nations of the Abraham Accords to stipulate no more attacks on Israel or other member nations of the Abraham Accords. I would insist Iran join the Accords and become a responsible member accountable to its charter and bylaws. Second, and related, Iraniacs must agree to Trump's demand that all the enriched uranium be surrendered to the United States and destroyed. You know, the uranium that Hillary, Kerry, and Obama helped them acquire? Oh yeah, $150 billion from Obama's not-so-brilliant deal. Hillary's uranium deal giving Russia access to United States uranium, remember that? And the Obama administration's ridiculous deal giving Iran literally a pathway to nuclear weapons. All of this facilitating Iran acquiring uranium and getting to within a month or less of becoming a nuclear threat. Oh, almost forgot. Remember Obama's $1.7 billion bribe payment to the Ayatollahs? You know, delivered in foreign currency on pallets of cash? Oh, and what about that $50 billion that Iran owes in reparations for the American hostages that they held? No one talks about that. If you want to know who to blame for this mess, you don't have to look any further than the Obama administration. And don't forget Pakistani's help getting Iran tooled up to enrich the stuff and an assist from Russia and China to get that done. Oh, yeah. All the documentation's here in my notes. The Chinese Communist Party has its hand in this thing. Trump is willing to let the Iranians include China in the excavation and retrieval process. I guess it's fitting that they should share the cost of cleanup since they contributed to making this mess. Third, the Strait of Hormuz must be unrestricted by Iraniac interference or demands. No tolls, no permission slips signed by the Ayatollah. Kidding. But the point is, Iran has zero legal right to assume any control over passage through the Strait, even when that occurs through their national waters. Now, I've explained this in earlier shows. Maritime law provides for legal international transit through straits that are so narrow. There is insufficient space to navigate the strait without traversing the national waters of the countries that have shores bordering that passage. Iran is in violation of international law. If I were negotiating this deal, I think I'd require the Iraniacs to acknowledge in writing their commitment to obey international maritime law established by the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. Called UN Close or CLO. Anyway, Iran must forfeit any claim of a right to control passage through the strait, even when it requires passage through their national waters, except as provided for in existing maritime law. Now, I've noticed that the Iraniacs keep playing these negotiations as if they have some kind of leverage. Well, what is it that they think they have? Well, they believe they can pressure Trump to concede to their demands by leveraging the only thing they've got left, which is knowledge that Trump would rather not destroy Iran or continue this war, and the political pressure that's building against it. And they're using that to pressure him to cave to their demands, but they don't understand Americans. The MAGA over here, they're supporting this. You know, the Memorial Day weekend had an uptick in travel, more than usual, in spite of the price of gasoline? Yeah, the Americans are supporting this. The Iraniacs keep baiting our negotiators along till they think we have some basis for a legitimate deal. And then, when the paperwork shows up, what they represented at the table apparently isn't appearing in the document. Namely, a serious commitment to forego pursuit of a nuclear weapon and complete surrender of all enriched uranium. Trump seems to be flipping the script on these yahoos. The one thing the Iraniacs are desperate for is money. They are tiring on the brink of financial collapse, not because they care about the people who are suffering terribly, but because, well, they're missing payroll for their military guard. And when that starts happening, defections begin to become common. And I understand that's happening. The one thing these guys know will happen if their guard, the Iraniac guard, gets too weak to protect them, well, the people are going to storm the castle, folks, and these guys will be beheaded, and they'll be surprised that instead of 72 virgins, they'll be greeted by Charles I. Remember that guy? Who will show them to their cells in hell. Anyway, Trump is being very consistent, and the Iraniacs know they can keep this going so long as they keep dangling the potential, or they believe if they keep dangling the potential for a deal in front of our president, he'll keep following along with it. But they're going to be surprised when they finally figure out that they're not dealing with a fool. He's baiting them. It's the other way around. And every move they make brings them nearer to their own destruction. They thought they would tempt him to bite with the promise to give him a deal. They think they are going to keep him dancing on his heels like a dog waiting for the bone to be tossed to him. Or it. They thought they would say, free up the frozen assets and remove the blockade. Then I'll throw you the bone, little doggy. Then we can talk about the nuclear issues. All of a sudden, Trump flips the script. No deal, he says. And he follows with, I'll tell you what, we could talk about unfreezing assets and removing the blockade after you have met all my demands. A serious commitment to no nukes policy, complete with verification protocols of our choosing, and obedience to maritime law regarding the strait, as in submit to the law of the sea and yield to the rights of international transit through the strait, without tolls and without hindrance or interference. And then, we'll talk about unfreezing assets at some other time. Do you catch that when I read it earlier? Did you? You can bet the Iraniacs did, after stipulating his redline demands, without moving them back an inch, without so much as softening them to an Obama girl jeans pink. Trump added depth to the color red in his lines. No nukes, no enriched uranium, and no further violations of maritime law regarding the strait, period. Without regard to whether or not we decide to unfreeze your assets. The only mention he makes of the one thing the Iraniacs are desperate for, and that's money, is this one terse, devastating statement. Quote, no money will be exchanged until further notice, end quote. Did you get, listen, he didn't even say, I promise to release the sanctions on your assets if you'll just please give me a deal. You're not dealing with Obama, friend. Trump removed money from the table completely. He said, effectively, there is no money on the table. None, nada. We won't even talk about money as a negotiating item to secure the demands we have specified. You are not going to extort Trump like you did Obama. Are you hearing this? Trump just told Iran he is not going to buy a deal from them. They will heal, period. No money. Let's see, in Arabic, that would be Ujado La No Kudon. Oh, good night. I'm sure my pronunciation is horrible, but anyway. There exists for you no money until further notice. We'll notify you. Don't call us. We'll call you. He just removed the Obama bribe. You want peace? Yeah. The Iraniacs say, you've got to pay for that peace. Trump says, there exists for you no money until I decide. Money will not be exchanged until further notice. Iraniacs do not set the terms of this deal, friend. Trump does. And it will be fair and equitable. That's the way he does stuff. If they keep messing around, he just might decide to, after it's all said and done, send them a bill for the cost of this war. Okay. That's enough on this point for now. If anything else breaks, I'll chat with you about it Saturday night for Brain Massage Live. Hold on. I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who joined me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release nonepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The Thucydides drap. What's that? And why would Xi be concerned? During Trump's latest visit to Beijing, Xi warned Trump he was moving into the Thucydides trap. In his opening remarks, Xi, quote, shot across the bow of hegemonic rivalry, end quote, asking, quote, can China and the United States transcend the so-called Thucydides trap and forge a new paradigm for major power relations, end quote. Now, Thucydides was an ancient Greek historian. He wrote a book on the history of the Peloponnesian War. That's the one where Athens, a rising power at that time, challenged and was finally defeated by the established power of Sparta. Thucydides famously observed, quote, it was the rise of Athens and the fear that this instilled in Sparta that made war inevitable, end quote. The term Thucydides trap was coined by Professor Graham Allison in an article published sometime, I think, between 2012 and 2015. And it was used in his popular 2017 book, Destined for War, Can America and China Escape Thucydides' Trap? Allison examined 16 historical examples of a rising power challenging a ruling one, and he noted that in 12 of those examples, the challenge resulted in war. Only four, he observed, avoided war through diplomacy and leadership. Therefore, the Thucydides trap is not inevitable. Xi's question was not necessarily a shot over the hegemonic brow. If it was, Xi forgot his history. The established power, Sparta, defeated the rising Athenian star in, I think it was 405 BC, after 27 years of conflict. Now, let's see, that was the war at Aegospotami, led by the Spartan general Lysander. The next year, 404 BC, with the help of the Persians, by the way, there's Iran again, Athens was starved out by an impenetrable blockade. However, this was a Pyrrhic victory. That's a reference to the battle when in 281 BC, King Pyrrhus came to assist his fellow Greeks against the Romans. He won two engagements against the massive Roman army, but at such a cost to him and his army that he was too weak to sustain a third and was overwhelmed by the sheer size of his enemy. So a Pyrrhic victory is one that is won at such great cost it turns into defeat in the end. Professor Allison warned that the rivalry between the U.S. and China could be so costly that neither side would come out the victor. He saw the U.S. and China on a collision course and asked whether we could avoid open war. Lord willing, I'll speak to this issue Saturday night between 7 and 8 p.m. on Brain Massage Live. Catch me on Rumble, Facebook, X, or LinkedIn. We'll use biblical prophecy to clarify how the Fourth Kingdom, presently held by the United States, will be finally destroyed. My point is that those who are suggesting Xi was threatening the U.S. may be mistaken. First, his statement only raised the question that has long been on Americans' minds. We created this dragon, by the way, thank you Nixon and Kissinger, and then Bush, with the globalists, fed it until it has grown into a monster, eyeing us with envy and hunger, licking its chops, but under God, we have a long history of slaying dragons. It is certainly true that among the CCP military officers, there are some radicals who are itching for war, and we have had some within our ranks willing to sell us out to China. Remember the Year of the Rat? The story of how Clinton was selling America's military secrets to the CCP. And we know China has had the ambition to destroy and supplant America, going all the way back to Mao. We would be fools so let the dragon seduce us into a false sense of security, but I think we can pray and hope and trust that China is smart enough to know that taking on America by any show of force would be very bad for China. After all, Chinese technology has not fared well in this present conflict with Iran, I'm just saying, nor Russia's, by the way. Not only has Trump begun using the sword of Romans 13 to execute wrath against these evildoers as commanded and ordained by God, Romans 13, 1-6, he has put on display for all the world to see the power that sword has when set in the hand of the righteous. You know, many people miss this. If you'll just open your eyes and pay attention, you'll notice what I've noticed, and that's that Trump consistently frames his policies and his actions with an impulse of regard for what's right as opposed to what's wrong. He's a right and wrong kind of a guy. He's one of the most conscientiously sensitive leaders I've seen in American politics. So let's consider Trump's new world order, shall we? The Latin phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum is found under the unfinished pyramid on the Great Seal of the United States, the backside of it, and has been printed on the back of every U.S. dollar since 1935. But the Great Seal was commissioned in 1776, shortly after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was formally adopted in 1782. It means, literally, New Order for the Ages, and it's the back of the Great Seal. It was and is an official statement of American exceptionalism. The American experiment, as it has been called, was a revolutionary new approach to governance premised upon the notion of divinely endowed individual rights and organized around the divine principle of consent of the governed. It's all about we the people. The founders knew these concepts were unlike anything the then modern world had seen and believed they had launched a new order for the ages. And for many generations to come, this order would repudiate entirely the evil heresy called the divine right of kings and declare there is no king but Christ, fulfilling Cromwell's dream. Indeed, they had. The devil, by the way, who is a mimic, a copycat, co-opted the phrase and framed it as the globalist expression, New World Order. Friend, as anyone with any sense at all knows, the globalist notion of a new world order is the enemy of the American new order for the ages, and it seeks to undermine it. The pyramid is not the tower constructed by Nimrod, Genesis chapters 10 to 11, and the structure is not unique or exclusive to Egypt. I mean, they're found in the Americas, Africa, Asia, Europe. Some believe Enoch constructed the first pyramids. Got a lot of interesting notes here and a footnote for you. The structure is durable, as proven by its historical longevity, enduring for centuries, even millennia, and so aptly represents what the designers of the Great Seal aspire to symbolize. The capstone separated from the body of the structure was intended to represent the idea that the construction of this republic was not considered finished, and that it could not be finished but by the watchful eye and favor of Almighty God. You know, the eye that runs to and fro on all the earth, beholding the evil and the good. The word anuit coeptus means he has favored or it refers to God's favor. Satan is a deceiver, and he attempts to attach himself to whatever God is up to in the world. It should not surprise us that he would try to insert himself into the history of America's founding. It appears that I've run out of time. And I've got so much more to go into, but I can tell you that Saturday night's Brain Massage Live podcast is going to knock your socks off. Yeah, that expression, that's weird, isn't it? What in the world does that mean? It had already become common parlance in America, so that it would appear in newspapers back in as early as 1856. It's one thing to knock someone out of his shoes, but to knock them out of their socks? Well, now, that's really something. The 60s generation managed to massage it, that idiom, into its current meaning to impress with astonishment. Pepsi used it, talking about getting that barefoot feeling, letting the soda drink knock your socks off. Now, I'm going to knock your socks off Saturday evening with a Brain Massage Live podcast you're going to love. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now, you let me know you see that they are on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button and click, fill in the form there and then click send. Or you can call me at 1-805-714-0785. That's 1-805-714-0785. And I'd love to hear from you, so please give me a call and let me know what's on your mind. I've thrown down a piece of my mind to chew on. Let me hear from you. Please be my guest June the 7th for the Lighthouse Baptist Church anniversary service. You'll learn a lot about our history, how we got to where we are, what we're about, and what we're doing, and where we're going. So come on out and see us and enjoy a meal with us between the services. You can come to the Sunday school service and join us there at 9:30 a.m. Or come on in about 10:45 for our morning worship service. Or show up at around noon and have some lunch with us and then join us for our evening service, which will immediately follow. Now, we will have a guest speaker with us, the pastor of our mother church that sponsored the Lighthouse Baptist Church, Pastor Marshall Stevens, will be with us. He's a wonderful man of God. You'll love his message and you'll love him. He's a great man. Come on by and see us Sunday, June the 7th, and we start at 9:30 a.m. Or see me this Sunday. God bless you, my dear friends. Again, God bless America, and we'll see you in church.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.